Let's open again this evening to Genesis chapter 12. We began to consider the first nine verses of chapter 12 of Genesis last week. A few more thoughts before we leave these verses. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord has said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So as we began to consider this passage last week, we looked at Abraham's calling and his character as a pilgrim who was journeying through this land. And from Hebrews chapter 11, we learn that he had a revelation. We don't know when or how that revelation was given to him, but the Holy Spirit lets us know that he had a revelation of a city built by God, a heavenly hope, a heavenly city made for the righteous. And so we see that his calling was one as a pilgrim, and because of God's grace to him, he was also characterized by worshiping Jehovah. He constantly was building altars in order to worship the Lord and to recognize the grace of Jehovah that had called him to these wonderful things. We notice, as we read here once again, that it wasn't that Abraham said, I'm going to do this for you, Lord, and I want your blessing, and I want to do this. It was the Lord saying, "I will do this. I will make your name great." And so these were promises of grace, favor, that Abraham didn't earn or deserve, but he believed and he received. And so God said, "I will do the work." You and I need to imitate Abraham's faith and to have that mentality as a pilgrim in this world. This world is not our home, and we have a hope that goes beyond this life. And that's hard for us because we have so many material, physical, emotional needs, and God knows that. He made us with those needs and those desires. And yet we need to comprehend that he has something better for us than just this life. He wants us to enjoy this life, as we see Abraham enjoyed life and enjoyed material blessings. And we can too. We don't have to live in a tent in order to have the mentality of a pilgrim. We just have to remember that we need to constantly be directed by the Lord as we travel through this life. He's leading us to places we don't know. Circumstances and situations that we're going to face yet that we don't know anything about, but the one who called us, he does. And we need to trust him, and we need to realize that our hope and our joy is not ultimately in the things of this life, but what he's prepared for us, what he said he would give us in eternity. Let's go to Joshua 24 and verse 2 to remind ourselves that, once again, Abraham did nothing to deserve this call. God chose him. God knew his heart. He knew what Abram's choice would be when offered these promises of grace. But in Joshua 24 and verse 2, we read this about Abraham's father. And at the very least, though it doesn't say it here specifically, but we should understand by this that Abraham grew up an idolater, just like his family. He grew up worshiping idols until the one true God appeared to him and called him to this special calling. And in Joshua 24:2, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods.'" So we can assume from this that Abraham also, at least in his younger years, and probably early adult years before God called him, he also served other gods, until one day the real one true God called him, and he believed the promises of grace, and he responded to the call. There was this undeniable revelation to Abraham's heart, and some of you can remember when the Lord called you, and I was 5 years old when I got saved, and I can still remember the reality of both the conviction that I needed a Savior. 5 years old, I was really quite the vile sinner at the time. And yet I felt the full weight of my sin. And then at the same time, I can remember so far back that joy, that peace, to know that I was now right with my Creator. The debt of my sin was paid once and for all. And that's how real and personal this revelation should be to every individual, and it was to Abraham. As we continue to look at Abraham's life as we study Genesis, you'll also understand another important fact, that Abraham's faith was a work in progress. He wasn't immediately everything God wanted him to be, and yet he had this constant willingness to know more of God and to surrender his will to the will of God. He didn't always seek that will. He didn't always know what that will was. But because his heart was, "I want to know the will of God. I want to worship and honor the one who has given me such precious promises." Because his heart was like that, he learned from his mistakes and his faith grew. And the same is true with you. And this is something that especially new Christians need to know, and some of us older ones need to remember, that we're not perfect. In fact, we will never reach sinless perfection in this life. And as long as we have breath, we need to continually understand he's teaching us. He wants us to know more of his love and his faithfulness. But every day, this is why a life of faith is a life of daily dependence in every circumstance, in every situation. No matter how long you've known the Lord, how long you've served him faithfully, every day brings something new. And many of the things that we need to, of God's word that we need to apply, that may not be new to us, but we have to know how we are to apply that same truth to the present situation. And I'm not smart enough to figure that out. And so I have to fall on my face and say, "Lord, what do I do? You know my confusion, you know my questions, but I know you. You've led me, you've called me, and I know that you're not going to leave me stranded." Abraham had that kind of faith, and that's the faith we need to imitate. A pilgrim, knowing we got something better waiting for us, and one of worship. He's worthy of our worship. In Acts 7, we again are given some information that were not fully specifically given in Genesis. Just like in Hebrews, where we read earlier, Hebrews 11, where we had some added information that we didn't have from the book of Genesis concerning that revelation of a heavenly city. Here in Acts, we're also given more specific. It doesn't necessarily leave it out, but we read, it appeared that God appeared and said, "Leave the land of your fathers." But when we read that, he appears to already be in Haran. In fact, he's already left Ur, is what it seems to be saying. But here in Acts 7, we find out that the calling was actually given when he was still back in the land of Ur, Mesopotamia, before he and his father and Lot, before they moved to Haran. And so here we have this information in Acts 7 and verse 2 through 4. "And he said, 'Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran.'" Now, if we just read Genesis, we would come away with the conclusion that that calling that we read happened in Haran. But here we understand that it actually took place in Mesopotamia. "And said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which we now dwell, the promised land, the land of Canaan. So we don't know whether or not Abraham's father, Terah, who moved them from Ur to Haran, we don't know whether he came to worship Jehovah or not. It is possible that he also believed when Abraham told him about this one true God. It's possible that Terah also believed. And it's possible, if you go back to Genesis 11, where we read earlier in our study, Genesis 11, 31 and 32, we see that first leg of the trip from Mesopotamia, or the land of Ur, that first leg of the trip seems to be the idea, or at least the direction of Terah, the father. In Genesis 11:31, we read, "And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out from the land of Ur, the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." Now remember, Abraham in Mesopotamia was called to go to the land of Canaan. His father seems to be in charge of this first move from Mesopotamia to Haran. And so again, we don't know whether Terah took that direction from Abram, and since he was still the patriarch of the family, he's the one who led that first move. But whether or not Terah came to worship Jehovah, which my personal conviction is, and opinion really at this point, is that he probably did, and that's why he moved with Abraham to Haran. But Terah didn't go the rest of the way. He stayed in Haran. God didn't call Abraham to Haran. He called him to the land of Canaan. Well, Haran is north of that yet. And Terah only went so far. He didn't have the specific personal calling or faith that Abraham had. Again, another principle that we need to understand about our walk is you can't have faith for something God has not called you to. Faith is hearing. It comes by hearing God's word to you and you responding to that word. Isaiah 51 and verse 2, God did not call Terah with this special calling. He didn't call Lot, and Lot did not have the same faith as Abraham now. He had faith in Jehovah. The Bible declares him to be a righteous man. And so we know that he worshiped Jehovah. But Lot never did grasp what Abraham did. Abraham was willing, as we'll see in the study as the story continues, Abraham was willing to accept from the hand of God whatever God provided. He was willing to go wherever God led him to go. That was Abraham's faith. Lot made his own choices, as we'll find out, and he paid the price for it. He liked what he saw, and rather than seeking Jehovah and looking to Jehovah to supply what he needed, he made his choices on his own. And as Isaiah 51 and verse 2, Isaiah speaking to the nation of Israel many years later, when Israel, the nation, was looking to Egypt to deliver them from their enemies, from the Assyrians and from the Babylonians, and they were looking for numbers and power, just like Nimrod. Make ourselves great. Let's make a great city and a great tower. Isaiah in chapter 51 is promising, God is promising to restore Israel, to protect them, to provide them, to be what they need to be. And in that prophecy of their restoration, we read these words, "Look to Abraham, your father." In other words, quit looking to everyone else. Quit looking to Egypt for your strength and your power and your deliverer. "Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone," one man, "and blessed him and increased him." God did that work in Abraham, one single man who trusted the grace of God. And so the exhortation to the nation of Israel at the time in Isaiah's day is, you need to do the same. You need to trust me just like Abraham did. Look at his example and what I've done for him. But once again, you cannot have faith for something God has not spoken to you. God called Abraham. Terah went as far as Haran, but there he stayed and there he died. And it was only after his father died that Abram then went on to follow the calling that God had given him. God has given us a calling in this church age, and it involves many things. I mean, first of all, salvation. He's called us to be his children. And the calling that he's given us, it's grand and it's noble, and he's given us many precious, great and precious promises that, again, are promises of grace. I don't deserve them. You don't deserve them. But can we believe them like Abraham did? The ones for us. And that's kind of the problem with much of the church today is they try to claim the promises God gave to Abraham and the nation of Israel for themselves. And they look to the Old Testament for many promises that were made to Israel. But God didn't call us to those things. He's called us to something far better, heavenly things instead of earthly things. And so we need to know what God's calling is for us. And the only way we can know that is by doing what we're doing tonight, studying the Word of God. And specifically for us, our callings and our blessings of grace are found in the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. So that's why we study Paul's epistles, because that's where we find out what we're called to. What are we supposed to be doing? Where are we supposed to be going? What are the things that we can expect God to do for us, not because we demand him to, but because he said he would? That's how we imitate Abraham's faith, as a pilgrim and as a worshiper. John 15, verse 16. Our calling is a calling of grace. He chose to bless us. John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Now that's a precious promise. But what's the connection? Many people take this out of context. Well, I can ask anything I want. No, it has to do with our calling. What are we called to do? Bear fruit for his glory. Anything I need, spirit, soul, or body, to bear eternal fruit for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Father says he will supply. And I rest in that. That's my joy. That's my peace. Even when I think I need something to do what I need to do, if I do, God will supply it. And so if it doesn't come, then I don't feel sorry for myself. Again, if I am living by faith, you and I both know that we often feel sorry for ourselves, don't we? But when we look to him in faith, we don't. We trust him. He's leading us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 6. Abraham's calling was of grace, and so is yours. So is mine. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him, God the Father chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of whose will? His will, not mine, God's. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Our justification is not based on what we promise we will do for God. My justification is based on what God did for me through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, this favor of the Almighty God, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's our calling. Abraham was called to a land that God would give him and his descendants. We're called to the very glory of the eternal God. And faith is all that's involved, believing the gracious promise. Abraham was justified by faith in God's covenant of grace to him that promised him a blessing, that he would be a blessing to the whole world, all of the human race. Stop and think about that. Our life today is blessed because Abraham believed God. Now, the question that we should ask ourselves, so his faith impacted generations after generation. One of the challenging things for me personally, and what I hope that the Holy Spirit challenges you with, it's so easy for us to get drugged down in just our moment-to-moment living. one situation after another, one circumstance after another, and difficult situations, and we just focus on the moment. But I'd like for us to spend some time this week just in the presence of the Lord asking ourselves, will my walk of faith, first of all, am I living by faith? And will my life, when I'm gone, should Jesus tarry, will my life of faith have any impact on anyone? Will I have been used of God as a willing instrument to touch someone's life? Whatever saying you want on your tombstone, it doesn't matter. It's what does God think of my life? And have I impacted others for them to be blessed? Have I been made a blessing by the grace of God to someone else? And so may we spend some time this week asking ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to examine us. Let's imitate the faith of Abraham. I think we'll stop there tonight.